It's good to be with everyone this afternoon. I'm going to turn to Lamentations 3, verses 21 through 26 is going to be what I want to look at this afternoon. One thing I wanted to try this year was to memorize scripture. I'm not good at that at all, and so I wanted to try to do that. So one of the passages that I wanted to try to memorize was this one in Lamentations 3. And so it's been on my mind and on my heart lately. So I wanted to share some realities and some benefits from this passage that I found. And what I wanted to do is look at four realities from these five verses that display the benefits and necessity of drawing close to God in His Word. So I'm going to go ahead and read these. It's Lamentations 3, verses 21 through 26. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. So, in this chapter, we're just focusing on that little passage there, but I want to give it a little bit of context as to what's kind of going on in the verses prior to the portion we're looking at here. So in the verses leading up to that passage there's, and I counted them, and I think I counted up, there's 13 of these verses where it starts out, He hath led me and brought me into darkness. That's in verse 2 of Lamentations chapter 3. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. That's in verse 5. He hath caused the arrows of His quiver to enter into my reins or heart. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. So, you know, you kind of get the idea. He's not doing very well. He's in a trial. He's going through a troubled time, and you get that as you read the prior verses here. But I also want to look at specifically verse 20, because I think that really sets up what I want to look at and gives it a good foundation to start from. So really, we're going to start in 19 and read verse 20 as well. But I think that gives us a place to springboard off of into these four points that I want to make. But 19 and 20, they read, "Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me." So the reason I think that's a good starting place is because it says, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Humbled. He's coming from a place of humility, a place of being broken. Not of a place of comfort and ease and security, but this is a humbled individual, someone who is remembering the afflictions that he's in, and that's where he's starting. And he's starting from a place of a humbled and contrite heart, and that's where God begins to work in our lives. And God can work in any situation, in any circumstance. You know, He's God. He can do anything that He will, but I think we can all attest to the fact that whenever we are in a state of affliction, when we're in a state of pain and we have a heart that has been humbled, I think we all can attest that is when we feel our closest to God, is in times like that. So springboarding off of that, I want to start in verse 21 there. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. So the first point I want to make, as far as the benefits of drawing close to God and His Word, is you have a mind directed towards the Lord. So whenever we're going through trials, whenever we're going through struggles, we can have a almost a default reaction to saying things like, well, we need to figure this out, or we need to take some sort of action to get a result. And we don't have a default reaction of being dependent and being relying on God in times of difficulties and times of trials. So we lean on self-sufficiency. We lean on our own understanding. We become more focused on fixing the situation in our own way than relying on God to show us His mercy and to show us what He would have us to do. But we see here in Lamentations 21, here in chapter 3, this I recall to my mind. So this is knowledge. This is information that he has stored up in his mind. He's recalling it to his mind in times of trouble and in times of tribulation and trials and persecution. He's recalling it because it's there already. It's in his mind. He knows these things about God, and so he can pull them forward when he's going through these situations, and they can help him to not default to a place of relying on himself, relying on what he can do to pull himself out of the situation, but instead remember who God is when you're going through these times. And you can't do that. You cannot have this knowledge stirred up, stored up in your heart and in your mind if you're not in his word, if you're not spending the time to study and to store this truth and this reality about God, if you're not taking the time to store that information up for you to draw from whenever you will need it in a trial. Let's turn to Psalms 119. And I just want to look at verse 11. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. I think everyone here could relate to this, but when you're going through a trial or a difficult time, again, we have that default reaction to either want to fix it or to want to escape it, you know, whatever it may be. But in that, there is also a great capacity that we have to sin and to rebel against God. And it's because, again, we're in a trial, we're in a difficult time, and Satan can use that time to affront us. But if we have a mind directed towards the Lord, if we have a mind directed toward His precepts, His commandments, the realities that are found in His word, those times, we'll be able to recognize those. And again, we'll be able to store that information up in our hearts so that we won't sin and so that we won't have this trial that we're going through turn us to sinning. That doesn't mean the trial is easy. That doesn't mean the trial is enjoyable. But it does mean there's opportunity there to glorify God in the trial because we have this mind directed towards the Lord, and we have the truths about God stored up so that we can, again, as it says in verse 21, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. So we can recall this information to our minds. A strong faith in God's plan for our lives is not possible without a strong dedication to his word. If we're not dedicated to being in his word, to storing up the truths about himself, that we find in his word, then we won't be able to have a hope and have a reliance on God as we're going through those trials. But God's provided us a means to store up for ourselves spiritual food to sustain us throughout the trials of life. And again, those are stores we can draw from those to give us our spiritual food day in and day out. So continue to build up those stores in your hearts and minds, because they're there for a reason. They're there for our benefit. And it's just another example of God's faithfulness to give us the ability to recall things to our mind as we're going through trials. So the second point I want to make from this passage is God's character is displayed. So this is just another benefit of being in God's Word. We learn about God's character. And we see this in verses 21 through 23. So it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So what are some of the characteristics of God? What are some things about God that we learn from Scripture? Well, we see in these two verses that he is merciful because of his compassion, that it doesn't fail. It never ends. It doesn't have an expiration date, and it doesn't have a, you know, it's not bipolar. It doesn't go up and down. It is a constant compassion that doesn't fail. And it doesn't fail because he is a faithful God. So let's turn to Psalms 89. I'm going to read verses 31 through 34, Psalms 89. If they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with the stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take away from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. So again, we learn about God by being in his word. We learn about, the being of God and what his characteristics are. And we see it. We see it by studying his word, that he's a faithful God, because he's not going to break his word. And we see that again and again, as he's just, he is a righteous God. He cannot, be made impure, and he's righteous, and he has a wrath against iniquity and sin. But we also see that he is faithful, which just means it's not, you're not picking, you're not drawing straws, you know, with God. You don't know, how he's going to be from day to day. It is a consistent, never ending, faithful, stream of mercies that come from God. And again, you learn that about God from being in his word. And it's, again, just another benefit of spending the time in God's word, so that whenever you are going through those trials, whenever you are experiencing hard times, you don't feel as though God is punishing you, the individual. But you can rest on these characteristics of God that you know don't change, regardless of, everything's all sunshine and rainbows, or if you're really going through a life-changing event in your walk that's really affecting you. You can lean on the fact that God is faithful. And something else we can lean on, and this is in Romans chapter 8, and you don't have to turn there. I know everyone is familiar with this more than likely. So it's just Romans chapter 8, 38 through 39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So again, the realities of God, we can store those up for ourselves. We also we learn about God and who he is as a being, and what his characteristics are. And those realities push us to a more close union with God as we learn about him. The reality is that regardless of our, of the trials and painful experiences we're going through, God is still merciful. That mercy is still being poured out on us regardless of our circumstances. Not because of anything we've done, but because being merciful toward his covenant people is who God is. Having loving kindness towards his people is who God is. And we learn these things about God by being diligent in our daily consumption of his word. All right. So the third point I want to make, the third benefit of being in God's word is our hope in God increases. So this is going to be in verse 24 of Lamentations 3. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. So the writer of Lamentations says, the Lord is my portion, or the Lord is my inheritance. It's another way you could say that. Therefore will I hope in him. So we've been given a hope by salvation, from Jesus Christ. We've been saved from sin, completely, sin cursed world. And we've been saved from that. We've been given an inheritance that makes us part of God's children. And because of this inheritance we've been given, we have a hope that's better than anything we can experience, here in this life. So, 2 Corinthians 5:1 says, and you don't have to turn there, but it says, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heavens. If our life here on earth is being turned upside down, we have a hope of things to come. This isn't our, you know, forever home. This isn't our, you know, we're not going to die here and then that's it. You know, we have a hope of things to come, obviously. We have a hope of eternal glory with God in heaven. But something else that we have here on earth is, you know, it's easy for me to get up here and to say, you know, we can hope for heaven and we can hope for all those things. And that's true. But we can be hopeful here on earth. And we can be hopeful of things that are happening to us now, because they're all opportunities to glorify God. They're all opportunities to walk through a trial a little bit better than you did last time, or to handle a situation, or handle sin, or handle temptation better than you did the last time. And that's something that we can hope in. We can hope in Christ because we know that he has cleansed us. He has made us new creatures, and we can hope on him now. You know, we don't have to be so downcast. You know, I know that trials are difficult. Trials are hard. Trials are, you know, sometimes you can't even, you know, talk about them without breaking down. But the beautiful reality of Scripture is, and what he's saying here in Lamentations is, therefore will I hope in him now, while I'm going through this trial, while things are difficult, I still know that God is with me now and will be forever because of what he's done for me. We can hope in the fact that God works all things together for good for his children, because God is our portion. God is our inheritance today and forever. It's not easy to be hopeful. And sometimes, you know, a life in heaven, it seems far away. It seems so disconnected from the current trial or current hard time we find ourselves in. But we can go through those difficult times and still have hope, because we have Scripture, because we have realities in God's word that we can pour our focus into, and we can use those to give ourselves hope. And a few of those are in, we're about to turn to here, that I want to look at. But again, you know, we can be hopeful through a trial. We can be joyful in a trial, even. And that seems very impossible, especially, you know, from a worldly view of going through a trial or a hard time. But we can experience pain and we can still glorify God and be joyful in our suffering. And that's not anything that we should take pride in and of ourselves. It just really should point us to the fact that God's powerful, and it doesn't make any sense to someone who's not one of God's children that we can be joyful through a difficult experience because they don't know the same God that we do. They don't know that there is great hope and there is great power in God. So let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. I'm just going to read verse 11 here. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end, or to give you hope in your latter end. So the thoughts that God has towards his people, we see it here, thoughts of peace and not of evil. We can be, again, hopeful in that. We can rest in those realities. And another reality similar to that, if you'll turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, and I'm just going to read verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Again, now the God of hope fill you with all joy. So we can be faithful. We can be hopeful. Even when going through those difficult times, because of God. Not because of us, not because of anything we've done, but because God has given us so much to hope for and so much to hope in. We can experience trials and difficult times. And that hope is only increased on a day-to-day basis by being in the Word of God, by studying His Word, by meditating on those realities that are found in His Word. And again, just another benefit of being in His Word, to let your hope increase, because you learn more and more about what God has done for you. And hope is very important for my final point that I want to make here. This is point number four, and it's just another benefit of being in God's Word, is a faithful patience in the Lord. And that's, verses 25 through 26. I lost my place here. Let me get back. Through 26 of Lamentations chapter 3. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. I want to turn to Isaiah chapter 40 to kind of go along with those two verses. And I'm going to read verses 29 through 31 of Isaiah 40. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall not faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So we see here, but they that wait upon the Lord, in verse 31 there, shall renew their strength. So what is this waiting on the Lord? What does this look like? And we see there in verse 31, it requires strength. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, be refreshed in their strength. Waiting on the Lord, it's not a sit still and do nothing. It's a faithful patience in prayer, waiting for the Lord to work His will in our lives. In Psalms 37, verse 9, it says, Psalm 37, verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. To the soul that seeketh Him. So we see there, to those that wait on the Lord, they'll inherit the earth, in Psalm 37 there. Again, waiting on the Lord, it's an action. It's not just us doing absolutely nothing. It's a verb. It is a action of us, patiently with a hope in, the Lord revealing His will, and with a hope in God bringing us through a trial, we patiently wait for the Lord. Romans 12:12, and you don't have to turn here. I just want to read this one verse. Romans 12:12, it says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. So again, it is a waiting on the Lord. It is a continuing to be in prayer, continuing to seek God's will, not just throwing up our hands and being, you know, miserable as we endure this trial, but it is being faithful in God and being faithful in prayer and being faithful and continuing to glorify God, because we have a hope and we have an expectation that God is going to lead us through the trial. Maybe not in the way we want, maybe not in the exact way we feel like He should, but we know that God will lead us through the trial. And so we wait on God to reveal His will for us. And again, that is not something that's easy to do, which is why I wanted to make the point that it's a verb. It is an action. It takes practice, and it takes God's help to wait. It takes God's assistance. And that's why you have to persevere in praying, during this time of waiting on God to act, or not act, in some cases. But it is difficult, which is why it requires strength. And that's why it requires patience. It requires patience to wait on God and to seek His will. So how do we increase, how do we increase this faith in God? How do we, again, I said it already, it requires practice, but how do we become better at waiting on God? Well, it's the same way as, all these other benefits come about. It's by being in His Word. You have to be in God's Word. You have to be in prayer, and learning about His faithfulness to His children, and in turn increasing your own faith in Him. So, you don't buy a car. You don't buy a car without test driving it. You don't buy a house without going to look at it. But you do make those decisions. You do buy the car, buy the house, after you've inspected it, after you've had someone else check it out, after you've, done your due diligence, and then you will, make your decision. But you wouldn't make that decision unless you had something, something to back up your decision, to buy it. If you want to make sure your money, is being spent, wisely, you want to do that research. if we want to be able to walk through a trial with patience and with waiting on God to act, research, and that's just the word I'm using for being in God's word, is necessary to be able to walk through a trial well, to be able to endure well. You must be, again, storing this information up in your surplus of, Bible knowledge, characteristics about God, realities found in scripture. You have to be storing those up so that whenever a trial does hit, because we don't know, you know, we don't know when a trial will come or, you know, when things will change, but spend the time to store up those realities about God. I know that when you're reading scripture, it can get dry. It can get, difficult. You know, there is a grinding aspect to it where you're just, you know, day in and day out and you're going through it. But again, I would be willing to bet, you know, everyone that's here this afternoon could give at least one example of a time when they went through something in their life and a verse in scripture that they had read thousands of times, maybe had a whole new meaning to them, on the other side of that trial than it did, you know, prior to going through it. And it's because you're storing up that spiritual nourishment that you need to sustain you through a difficult trial and difficult circumstances. So I want to read, this is in Romans 8 again, and this will be the last place I turn. But it's in Romans 8, and it's verses 24 through 25. Excuse me. And it says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." So again, patience. This idea, we're waiting for God to move. We're waiting for God to reveal himself as we go through those trials. And again, without hope, without those realities, that God is faithful, God is merciful, without that hope being stored up in our mind, excuse me, it would be impossible to faithfully wait on God. But we can wait on God, and we can do it faithfully, and we can do it with joy, and we can do it with, you know, whatever positive word you want to use for it. But we can do it in those ways because of God and because he's given us a study book and a resource book about himself and about how he handles trials that his children go through here. And so we can store up that knowledge for ourselves, and we can faithfully wait on the Lord to move in our lives. So those are all the points I had from this passage. I hope it was beneficial to everyone. I hope it was something that will, you know, encourage you. And again, I know that scripture reading can become just a grind. You know, I know it can become dry at times, but it is such a wealth of knowledge, and it's such a great reward to be in God's word and to have him, you know, really feel that communion that you have with God through his word. And it's necessary. It is so necessary to be able to go through trials with grace and with perseverance. So just to summarize the four benefits: a mind directed towards the things of God, and a mindful of scripture, number one. Number two, God's character is put on display for us. Number three, hope in God and the blessings that he has in store for us increase. And then number four, we can better faithfully wait on the Lord to work in our lives.